So here on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, yesterday we had three candidate kinyonim for Rabbi Gamliel to use to transfer ownership over the peros of Maaser to the Levi. One candidate was Chatzer, the other candidate was Agav, and the third candidate was Sudar. The Gemara Rava actually excludes two possibilities. He excludes Sudar and Agav based on the fact that Tovas Hanah Lav Mom, meaning that the Bailim here, in this case from Gamliel, he doesn't have enough Bailus over the Maser to be Machne it as a separate entity, as Metaltalin, to be Machne these Metaltalin, neither through Sudar nor through Agav. But here's where the magic of Chatzer will come to the fore. Because in the case of Chatzer, as long as he designates the peros of Maser for one particular Levi, and the Levi has that Maser in his Chatzer, then his Chatzer could be Konefim. The only problem is, in the case of Gamliel, the Chatzer was a million miles away from Yeshua ben Hananya. So how could his Chatzer be Konef the Maser on his behalf? Hence, Rabbi Avo derives the conclusion that you don't need Omeid Bitzad Sadeh, even though it's a Chatzah Sheinah Mishtameres, and that's against Rabbi Zera. The Gemara then says, Velohi, that this is not true. And the reason for that is that the exclusion of Sudar is based on a different concept, and that is that in Matnas Kahuna, or Matnas Leviah for that matter, you have a mitzvah of Nesina, right? The Pasuk says, V'nasan, right? Gam Nesativ, or Nesativ La Levi, it says. And here's where we have a discrepancy between the following two kinyonim. One kinyon is called Sudar, and the other kinyon is called Aga. In the case of Kenyan Sudar, there's no Nesina. Why is that? So Rashi, we went through it yesterday, says because the mode of operation in terms of Sudar is Tmura. Tmura means that basically you're paying up for the object that you're acquiring. So let's say in this case of Maser, then what Yoshua is doing is he's, so to speak, again, don't take me literally, but it's as if he's paying up for the maaser, because he gives the owner, in this case from Gamliel, the sudar. Again, this all has to do with how sudar operates. Is it Caleb Shalkona, Caleb Shalbach? We're not going into that now. Just to get the broads, you know, and then we'll, lean at it, we'll go through some of the more specifics, but just to get the broad sketch, what's happening is that I give you a sudar, and I acquire in return, as a barter exchange, your object, whether it's karka, metalton, whatever it is. But there's no nesina whatsoever. In the case of tmura, in a case where I'm paying you up and giving you something in tmura, you're not giving me anything. I automatically own it because I paid you for it. Where is it? Wherever it is. Not so in the case of agav. In the case of agav, what I'm doing is, I am being makne with a kinyan, the metaltalin agav karka, which means that just like you are effectuating a possession, you're taking possession over the karka, you are now taking possession over the metaltalin, and that's called a nesina. So a nesina means whenever I do a formal kinyan, and through that formal kinyan I am giving you something. You know, it's not literally physically giving it to you, but it's going into your rishus. That's called a nesina. So for example, Chatzer or Agav, all these kinyonim will fulfill the requirement of Nesina, and therefore we're left with a defense for Rabbi Zera. I'm always trying to, you know, cheshbon out where we're holding. Are we a Kasha or a Teretz? So we're now in a Teretz mode against Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was the one who asked the Kasha, how could Rabbi Gamliel effectuate this kinyon? It's Eino Omei Bitzad Sodeu. And the teretz of that is, you have no raya, because it might not have been chutz at all, it might have been a kinyan agav. So let's just look inside to see the daf gemara, which is also very helpful. And we're up to Rav Papa. Now, if you see a Tosis Diva Maskil Nasun Lioshua in the middle of the page, and you draw a line straight across, you'll see Rav Papa. So Rav Papa is now going to offer an alternative approach to reject Rabbi Abba. So far, we've rejected Rabbi Abba based on that Rabbanon, Surmin Rabbanon, who said that maybe we're talking about a Kinyan Agam, and that's the effective method that Rabbi Gamliel operated with. And now Rav Papa has a different answer. Rav Papa Omar, the reason why you don't require Omeid B'tzad Sodeu in this particular case is because of Das Acheres Machna Osan Shiny. That's different. We've been discussing the case of Chatzer in a Metziah. In a Metziah, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel and then Ula subsequently reiterating the same position require Omeid B'tzad Sodeu. You cannot be zocher in hefker in a metziah based on your chatzer if it's eino mishtameres unless you're omeid b'tzad sodeu. That kinyan of chatzer is a more, shall we say, active kinyan. Meaning the chatzer has to play a more active role, and it cannot play an active role unless the baal is there to activate the chatzer. We once suggested that maybe Chatzer is an extension of his yad, so it can only be an extension of his yad to grasp on to the object if he's Omeid B'tzad Sodeu. However, in a case of Hakna, where I'm being Machna you something in your Chatzer, there the Chatzer plays a less active role. Why? Because we have what's called Das Acheres Machna. So our Papa says in this case where Gamliel is being Machna, again we're holding now Tovas HaNom Mamon, and therefore Gamliel has Bailus over the Paris of what's it called, of Maser, until he actually delivers it. So at this point, he as a Bailim is able to be Machna the Peros. He's not just saying, well, I exclude all the other Levim and I'm, you know, Tovas HaNom, I'm exercising my Tovas HaNom Mamon, but rather I'm being Machna these Peros of Maser to you because Tovas HaNom Mamon. And that sets up Chatzer as a more, shall I say, passive Kinyan. The Chatz itself is not actively grabbing onto something which needs the help of the Bailim who are Omeid B'tzad Sodeu, but rather the Machna is basically transferring the Kinyan and the ownership of the Kinyan to the Baal HaChatzer. The Baal HaChatzer is just simply receiving, that's called Das Koder, he's receiving the Kinyan that was effectuated by the Machna. And therefore, says Rav Papa, Enochinami. The method that Rabbi Gamliel was operating with when he was Machna the Meiser to Yehoshua to the Levi was Kinyan Chatzer. He wasn't Omeid B'tzad Sodeu. How could the Levi acquire ownership over the Maser through his Chatzer when it's a case where he's, as we said before, a million miles away from his Chatzer? The answer is because of Das Acheres Machna. So I just want to read to you, he has an overview of some of the Rishonim here, and he says the following, Kasher Adam Machne Chefetz Hashayach Lo V'nimtza B'chatzera Shal HaKone Afilim Osa Chatzer Eina Mishtames Eino Tzorech Shakone Yamod B'tzad Chatzera Dekeman D'das Acheres Machne Hidaito Shal HaMocher U'mesayas l'kinyan, mesayas l'kinyan. Again, I wouldn't have used the word mesayas, but that's the word he uses. I would have said that, in a sense, the maisa kinyan is totally, 100%, the maisa kinyan, the machna. The kone is only the baal of the chotzer, and he just waits for the machna to be machna the kinyan, and he receives it through his chotzer. We don't need the bailim of the chotzer to play as a kone an active role. He's shown it in zemi odem arotza liknos mitzia hamunachas bechatzero she'eda mishtameres. And on that case, Omar Ula, and before him, right, we had Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. She'eino kone bala chotzel umkein omei b'tzad chatzeru keiman de mitzia ein das acheres machne lahaknas los achefetz. And therefore, Rav Papa says, we can begin to understand how Rav Gamliel was able to be machne the masros to Yehoshua through a chotzer. And the answer is because of das acheres machne. Umina Temra. Now Rav Papa wants to say, I didn't just invent this out of my head. I actually found this in the Mishnah. Disna in the Mishnah says, Ra O son, Ratzin Achar Mitziah. And if it's a Tzvi Shavur, or Gozos Medadadin, and Omar Habala Sada, Zachzali Sada, is Zacha. The Omar Rabbi Yirmi, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Vahu Sherotz Achreim Umagion. That how is he able to be Zocha through his Chotzer? It's only in a case where the Balasada can run and grab the object, in this case the Tzvi Shavur, before it runs out of the field. But if, on the other hand, before he'll get there, the Tzvi is very healthy and it can run like the speed of light, and it'll run out of the Sada before the Balaam will get a chance to grab it. In such a case, boy, Rabbi Yirmi of Matana, Rabbi Yirmi says that in the case of Mitzia, he's lo zachavan. That's why the Mishnah stipulates that it's dafka rotzachrem magion. And yet, Rabbi Yirmi says that in the same Mitzias, had it been a tzvi that's healthy, and somebody is giving the tzvi as a matana, hech, what would be the din? In other words, in this case, even though, as far as Chatzer is concerned, in Mitziah, we would say he couldn't be Zoch in the Mitziah. Why? Because it's not Omi B'tzad Sodeo in a way that he'll be able to grab onto the object. It's a Tzvi Rotz Kedarko, and the Chatzer can't be Konefim in that case. But what's going to be the din in a case of Matana? In a case of Matana, we have what element? Das Acher Smakta. Excellent. So he says, hey, what would be the din? The Kibla Mine, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Afal Pisha Rotzachrem, the Eina Magion, nevertheless he's Kona, he's Zocha through his Chotzer. Now again, in this very same Mitzius of Rotzachrem, the Eina Magion, he would not be Kona Mitzia. And yet, the Maskona here is that he can be Kona Ematona, Maishna, Maitaima. Lav Mishum, is there no other possibility other than Dasacher Smachdoson? And that's going to be the case where the Balachotz is Kona, even if he's Eino Omi B'tzad Sadeo, because of Das Acheres Mach. So, folks, I wanted to learn with you a little bit of a paragraph or two here. I'm not sure what pages you have, because I always do this photocopy very quickly. But can you find a page that starts with Tuf Kuf Tes Vav on the top right? Yeah. You have such a thing? I have a couple of copies there on the table if anybody wants to avail themselves of those copies. Now, in two out of the three of the options of the alternatives for Kenyan on the part of Rabbi Gamliel, we needed Skiris Karka, which means that whether or not he's operating with Agav, Rabbi Gamliel, and he's being machna him the metaltalin Agav Karka, or alternatively through Chotzer, and now the Peros are in the Chotzer of the Levi of Rabbi Yeshua, in both these cases we need what's called Makomo Muskarlo, we need Skiris. And again, how is this Skiris effectuated by Kesef? That means that Yeshua ben Hanani is going to actually put down a Shavu Pruto, whatever he puts down on the table. And Rav Gamliel now is makna to him Karka, which is called Kinyan Kesef. Fine, Kesef. Karka nicknames be Kesef. Yeshe Kosav, if you take a look in footnote number 9, again, we're looking at certain Sfarim over here, which we're not necessarily familiar with. Is it 9 or 99? I always forget.
99.
Oh, 99, sorry. Just 1 second.
Maharam.
Wait. You know what? It's a little bit complicated because there are two sections here. There's this and there's this. We need that section.
No, if you find 9 is on the next page then.
Oh, I see. So we need number 8 maybe. I don't know.
8's on the next page.
Maybe we need number 3.
He is good.
Yeah. You know the joke about the 8 and the 3, yes, and the 6 and the 9? You know the famous joke? If you're in Rabbanus, you need to know this joke. Just kidding. But it really fits into a lot of drushes. I've used it too many times. There was a brother, the two brothers, one brother became very wealthy and the other brother unfortunately was a little down and out. So he comes to his rich brother and he asks him for a loan. So the brother says that I can give you a loan, but you have to pay interest. So the brother says, how much interest are you asking? 9%. Imagine one brother charging 9% interest to his own brother. So the poor brother says to him, what is the father going to say up in heaven? So he says to him, from where he is, it looks like a 6. Anyway, so he says, this is the Marsham.
Yeah,
right, the Marsham, number 3. And he says the following. Yesha kosov, shechatzero shal adam konolo, gam midin mishicha. Kishesocher asachotzer, nibshach mimela hachefetz lirshuso. Now the Marsham here is quoting some of the poskim on Shulchan Aruch. And this is a radical breakthrough. Because, generally speaking, we assume that a kinyan meshicha is a kinyan yad. And now, if you take a look at the footnotes, it's the prisha. The prisha is assuming that we can upgrade chatzer to the level of a kinyan yad. And therefore, it's like meshicha. Kishes socher sa chatzer, nimshach memela hachefetz l'shuso. It's like Mashiach, because what's the essence of Mashiach? You grab onto an object and you take it. Where do you take it? You take it into your Rishus. Right? And we had a long discussion, if you remember, back on Daf Tes, about whether Mashiach works in a Simta, whether Mashiach could work in a Rishus HaRabim. But Kuli Amalo Pligi, everybody agrees that if you do a Mashiach in the classic or the ideal way, you take it into your Rishus. Now, once I'm makna to you the Chatzer, then what happens is that chatzer is now the rishus for the chefetz to go into. Again, there's no active movement here. In other words, the object is not entering into your rishus, but it is in your rishus. That's meshicha. So this is the sugya, if you remember, about the pole. You had a talus that was tied up to a pole. Mm-hmm. And you want to be zochin the talus, so you did a hagbah. So the Gemara clears back and forth. Is that called hagbah? On the one hand, the talus was already lifted up because it was tied down to a pole. So at least half the talus was already mugbah. And now you're being magbiah the other half of the talus. So is that enough as a hagbah? So if you remember, we analyzed that sugya, we came to the conclusion it depends on two definitions of a kinyan hagbah, which is the same here in Mashiach. Is a kinyan hagbah lifting it up or having it lifted? In other words, if you do an action but as a result of which the object is lifted, that's enough for hagbah. No, you have to lift it up. So if you have to lift it up, you only lift it up half the talus. So maybe you could be kona half the talus, or do we see the talus as an entity, and it's either all or nothing. But if you're going to say that all you have to do is be gorem, that the talus be lifted, then that hagbah would be sufficient. A similar concept here is in this Prisha. The Prisha wants to know, in the Kinyan Mashicha, how do I define Mashicha? Is it an active Mashicha in which I take an object into my possession, into my Rishus? Or it's enough that I have the object in my Rishus? And an Afkamina is going to be a case of Chatzer. Supposing the object that you want to be machna to me is already in my Chatzer. I didn't take it into my Chatzer, but it is in my Chatzer. Is that considered a Mashicha or not? And then Afkamina here in our discussion would be in what way or through what method was Yoshua Kone the Masa? Clearly he was Kone the Chatzimidin Schirus, like any Kenyan Karka. That's fine. Now he owns the Karka below the Maisers, which means the Karka now can serve as his Chatzer. What do we see over here? Do we see Chatzer or do we see Mashicha? And the Prisha wants to upgrade this kinyan to that of Mashiach. We'll see that Mashiach has a far-reaching implication going way beyond that of Chatzet. And he wants to say that in this case, since the Makna has already placed the Peros into the Chatzer of the Kone, then when the Kone acquires ownership on that Chatzer, and the peiros already in the chatzer, that's considered mishicha. And look at the language that the preacher uses. He says nimshach memela chefetz l'shusa. Do you see that word memela? Yeah, that's
he
a word.
Didn't
that
do
we,
it.
He didn't do it actively. There was no. Let's not fool anybody here. There was no mishicha, but he calls it memela. Memela means, I think, again, this is my take on it, if you can argue with me, that memela means that the himatzus hachefetz is enough to make it into a kinyan mashicha. Because ultimately, what's the purpose of the mashicha? It's to get the object into your rishus. Like we spoke, remember, about a ganav, right? A ganav has to do a mashicha. And he has to take the object into his rishus for kinyanik zela. Hikshu l'dvarov, my makshikana gemara ech konami toras chotzer, it's not omi b'tzad sadeu. And the answer is, we have another candidate now. We've been dealing with three candidates. Now we have four candidates. That's sounding like the Democratic Party in America, right? Every day there's a new candidate, although I think now they knocked them all out. I hope that Jew is not still in the running. Anyway, I don't want to express my political views here, but you know, when it comes to self-hating Jews, my father taught me, you have to be oiker them, mamish. He called it kotzim of barkanim. You know, like thorns. The worst malshin. They were sacking a separate bracha. Malshin malsi sikva. In any event, so what happens over here? Now we have an unbelievable kash on the prisha. How's the prisha going to understand that sugya? We now have a fourth candidate from Gamliel to be makne this the peris of Masa to Yosef and Gamla. Forget about chatzer. The chatzer here is only the reshus of the bialin, but the kinyan itself is mashicha. Brilliant kash of the marsham. Now, the only thing that bothers me about the Marsham's kasha here is I don't understand why he uses the word shema. What I mean to say is the following. Yesh lachkar, in Hilchas Kinyonim, does the makna have to have das for the maisa kinyon, or he just has to have das for the chalosa kinyon? I would have said, if you'd asked me, it's just a chalosa kinyon. You know, I'm going to do whatever I can in order to transfer ownership from me to you. Which kinyan works? You know, flip a coin. You know, it's like, what's that phrase? You know, shoot in all directions. What's it called? You know, the machna is shooting in all directions. You know, he's going to try chatzah, he's going to try agav, he'll try sudar, he'll try mashicha, whatever works. But he says, Shema, what's his language here? Hikna lahem ram gamlia lo yedei chatzer el al yedei mashicha. He's going back to the mindset of the makna, in this case from Gamliel. Okay, maybe it's lav dafka. You know, I don't have to build castles in the sky as to what kinyan he has to have in mind. But you should know that chakira is very relevant here on daf yud aleph amid aleph. No, excuse me, Daf Yudom and Aleph, right? We had the case where he throws himself onto the Peah, or he throws himself onto a Mitziah, and then we have to remove him and give other people opportunities, other Aniyim, to grab it. I mean, it could be in that case, he doesn't have Das for a Kinyan of Dalet Amos, he has Das for the Chalos. So he thinks the best way of being Kona here is by throwing himself on it, or throwing his begotten on it, bless you. But again, who cares what he thought? He's desperate to make an acquisition on this pair. If Dalet Amos will work, but the Gemara says no. And if you medayik in the Lashon of the Gemara says he was Magala Das, and he doesn't want to be Kona with Dalet Amos. And that goes under the Halacha of Yefshi B'Takonis Chachamim. So the Gemara is not saying that he couldn't be Kona b'Dalet Amos. If all things were equal, if he didn't exclude Dalet Amos, then he could be Kona b'Dalet Amos. He's just interested in the Chalos HaKinyan. There's an Asiva somewhere. I can't remember where it is. It's in Hilchas Shabbos, but I don't remember where. If you could look up that Siman about Iser Hakna and Shabbos, you know, we're not allowed to be Makne because the Gemara at the end of Beitza says Shema Yichtov Shtar or whatever it might be. So I think the Nesiva says that if you had a case where he didn't do the Maisa Kinyan, but he only did the Chalosa Kinyan, it would be Osir on Shabbos. Why? Because the Iser is not the Maisa Kinyan, but rather the Chalosa Kinyan. Anyway, Kosvu L'Taret, so now we get to Marsham's answer. He's trying to defend the Prisha. And he says, Kevan Kaimalon de Meshicha de Rabbanon. That itself we have to understand. In other words, Midaraisa Mos Konos. Right, so if I want to buy metaltolin on a Doraisa level, I have to give you Mos. The Drabbanan said, I don't have to give you Mos. I can be Kona with Meshicha. And then the Mos now becomes an outstanding Chov. And the reason the Chachovim did that is because Shema Yisrufu Chitosa Balia, right? That if you would pay me here and the goods are here and you didn't make a kinyan yad on the Meshicha and it goes up in smoke, I'm not going to do anything about it because what do I care? It's in my storage, but you own it. You're going to have to pay me for it in any event. So they made a takana that you don't acquire ownership on metaltolin with Mos, but rather with what? Meshicha. With Meshicha. Again, Meshicha is symbolic of any kinyan yad. So what difference does it make? Ah, now we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa. So this is very interesting. We established that the mitzvah d'oraisa requires nesina, because in matnas kuna, matnas levi, you need nesina. Rabbi Gamliel wants to achieve nesina, and we suggested, based on the sugya of Rava, that in order to achieve nesina, you need a kinyan chotzer or a kinyan agav. Right, there were two options. Now we have a problem. Meshicha would be a wonderful Nesina. Adarav, it would be the ideal Nesina for Matnas Kuna, Matnas Levi. Imagine I come over to you, if you're a Levi, right, John? And I give you my Maaser, hand to hand. I mean, that would be the greatest scheme of Nesina. But here, what's the nature of the Kinyan of Meshicha? It's a Kinyan Meshicha, not of Nesina, because I don't give you the Maaser, but rather it's the Himatzus. It's the fact that the Maaser is in your Rishus. But that's not the Marsham. That's Berzon talking. And you could blow me out. Because the Marsham is saying that the problem with Meshicha is that it's Durabona. Mm-hmm. Had Meshicha been Doraisa, then it would be Nesina. And that's a Gevaldige Chiddush of the Marsham. Because I would have said that even if Meshicha is Doraisa, we don't have a Nesina. Again, Meshicha is your classic Nesina, but not in this case. In this case, the Nesina was simply the fact that the peros are located in the chotzer of the kone. Oh, shari tzarech hu l'kayim mitzvahs Nesina d'oraisa. So this is the Marsham. You know, some people thought we were related to the Marsham because the Marsham came from a town called Berjan, and they called him the Berjan Rav. But I have news for you. Berjan is in Galicia, and my father had no relatives in Galicia. I'm joking. I married a girl from Galicia, so I shouldn't say that. But you know, the Litvak is when my father married my mother, they accused him of intermarriage because she came from Galicia. In those days, it's hard to even imagine. I mean, who knows? If I would ask your average guy in the shtiblach here, and you know, are you a Galiciano or you're a Litvak, they probably wouldn't even know the difference. It's a new generation. But back in the day, that was considered intermarriage. V'amavur b'sugyan, das kedim konu amasus b'kinyin chotze hikshol ashach, shekosev di'ein chotze kona ela shehi kvar Bichatzero. Oh, this is a famous shach. It's in Simon Reish Beis. So the shach is of the opinion that chotzer is only kona when the object is already in the chotzer. So by definition, according to the ktsos, the nature of chotzer is what we wanted to say before about Meshicha, that it's the himatzus hachefetz in the chotzer. We would have said just the opposite, that chotzer is only kona when it's not in the chotzer, and he puts it into the chotzer. because that means he's taking it into his rishus. But no, that would be kinyan mishicha. What's unique about kinyan chotzer is the fact that kinyan chotzer operates even though the object was there before he was makne. So T1 was the object is in so and so's chotzer. T2, the owner of the object is makne to so and so, and now he has already the object in his chotzer. Then he's kona. In other words, if I were to give you the chotzer and give you the matana, the object, at the same time, that would not be chotzer. I mean, it might work mitzad agav, but it certainly would not be chotzer. And that's the sheet of the shach. Varikan bo kiachas. In Rabbi Gamliel saying to Yoshua ben Chananya, he's saying, I'm going to be machnu the karka, and I'm going to be machnu the peros with the karka. Bekinyan chotzer. So that's called kiachas. And this is the kash of the ketzos on the shach. Yesh tirates. Okay, this is already the chsam sofer, I believe. Let me just see if I got the right numbers here. It looks like a 9. No, it's a 6. That was a joke. Anyway, yesh tirates. Didn't wake him up. Okay. Yesh tirates she benidon didan kevon she amram gamliel nosun liyoshua. Let's go back to the Gemara again. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. And the Mishnah says the following. This is on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. He says, Isur shani osid limod nosun liyoshua nosun liyoshua umekomo muskarlo. Interesting. It sounds like the shach. Why? Because first he's giving him the peros and then he's giving him the chotzer. So by the time he's coming to the chotzer, he already has what? He already has the peiros in his rishus. Shabenido didan kevin shomer gamliel nosun liyoshua shuv eni yochel lachzer bo davi lekimakiri kahuna. Okay, we have to see why the chsam sofer needs this. V'lachen yochel liknos also bekinyan kal al yudei chatzero bebas achas. So let's try to understand this. This is a very profound. Some sofer. I had a pshat, but I forgot what I wanted to say. Let me see if I can reconstruct it. The Chassam Sofer wants to say that there are two dinim in kinyanim. One din in kinyan is that a kinyan is binding, and the makne cannot be chozer bo. And there's another din in kinyan that the lokeach, that the kone, acquires ownership. And you could separate between these two dimensions of kinyan. Meaning, it could be that time T1, the hakna of the mocher, of the makne, is only effective as far as eino yochel lachzer bo. That it's irreversible. That means the kona now has an absolute guarantee that he can make the kinyan on the object. And the makne cannot be chozer bo. Now at this point, the kona has to make a kinyan. So at point T1, the kona is not the owner of the object, but the object is, so to speak, hefker for the kona, but only for the kona. Only he cannot acquire it. And the makne cannot be chozer bo. Now, in the case of maaser, here it says the Chassam Sofer, we have a clear-cut two-stage process. The first stage is Isur Shani Osid Lima Lamut. That declaration, and we have to understand why, accomplishes the first element, the first dimension of Kinyon. And it means that the Makne takes himself out of the produce, out of the object. He removes himself from the object. He has now specified one person on the face of the earth who could make a kinyan on that object. No one else can make a kinyan on that object. Why? So we'll answer that question in just a minute, but let's just get the mechanics of the Chassam Sofer. Once that happens, then the kinyan of the kone is a light kinyan. Do you see the word kal? Yes, no, maybe? Kal. What does it mean, a kinyan kal? Again, as far as the mechanics go, it means that the shach is going to drop the ball on his requirement that the object be there before the chatzah can be konen. And if the object is being given together with the chatzah of asachas, then the kinyan of chatzah is inoperative. That is a kinyan chamur, so to speak. Now we're raising the bar and the requirements for the kinyan chatzah such that the chatzah has to be there. I mean, the object has to be there before the chatzah can make a kinyan, but the chatzah is inoperative in a case where the object is being given together with the chatzah. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Shach never meant to exclude such a kinyan chatzah. The Shach only meant to say that in order for the chatzah to be active, so to speak, in acquiring ownership on the object on behalf of the Kona, the chatzah has to already have the object in its possession. What do I mean? It means the Machna has already placed the object into the chatzah, and before the chatzah is going to acquire the object, the chatzah already, so to speak, the object is in, what word am I looking for, is in limbo. Is that a good word? The object is already in limbo in the rishus of the chatzah, even before the chatzah is authorized to make the kinyan. The object is in limbo. The machna already placed the object in the konis chatzer, and he designated for the owner of the chatzer that he should now be making a kinyan on the chatzer. Says the ktsos, I'm sorry, says the shach, that only in this case, where the object was already designated for the kona, can the konis chatzer make that kinyan. But again, the kinyan is really the tfisa of the chatzah grabbing onto the object, so that even if both the chatzah and the object would be transferred to the kona simultaneously, that wouldn't bother the shach. In other words, that's not mufka, it's not excluded. The chatzah in such a case is not able to grab onto the object because the chatzah doesn't have the object. It's only being given to the object, given to the chatzah now. Says the Chasam Sofer, but lu yitzur, if I would have a case where, like in the case of Makiri Kahuna, the object has already left the bailus of the Makne. Now that sounds odd, right? For example, if I were to put an object in your chatzah, my bailus on this object is still 100% until I Makne to you and I say, I want you to be Zocher through your chatzah. But at stage one, the fact that the object is in your Rishus, that doesn't achieve anything. So let's say, for example, I would have full intention to be machted to you an object and I put it in your chutz. And then I decide, meaning I want to take it back. I can do so, because my kinyan is still 100% kinyan. Until the moment that I'm machted to you, it's mine. Masha Enkin, in the case of Makiri Kahuna, the object has already been put into the chatzah of the Levi. The Levi has not yet acquired the object, but the Machne has already put himself into a situation where the object has left his Rishus. And in such a case, the kinyan of the chatzah is, so to speak, a half-baked kinyan. I don't need a full kinyan of the chatzah. All I need is a partial kinyan of the chatzah, such that even if they come with asachas, the chatzah, and the ownership on the peros of the chatzah, the bala chatzah can be koneh the peros. So let's read it inside. Benidon didan, kevan sha'omer am gamliel, nosun li'oshua. Again, we have to read it inside. What does it mean, nosun li'oshua? He says, Isur Shari Asid Lamud Nasun Lyoshua. So the magic words here are Nasun Lyoshua. Then Havile Makiri Kahuna. And what does that mean? He says, Shuveni Yochel Lachzorbo. Those are the key words I think in the Tzam Sofer. This is really fascinating. The Kenyan of the Levi that was designated is not effective yet. It hasn't been activated. But it doesn't matter. As soon as the bala peros, in this case the bala, you know, the bala truma, the bala meiser, has designated this maser for a particular levi, at that moment, there's a din of Shuveni Yochel Achzerbo. Yeah, how does the Chassam Sofer know that? He doesn't. There are no footnotes here, so I can't tell you. But if you grant his premise, which is probably based on some sugya, he doesn't tell you where it is, that once you achieve Makiri Kuhuna, then the Baal HaPeres can no longer rescind or revoke his decision, so then the Kenyan already is halfway done, so to speak. Why? Because now we only need the second dimension of the Kenyan, namely the positive ownership of the Kona. Lachain, Yachol Liknos also, meaning now we're up to Yoshua, he could be Kona of these Peros, the Kenyan Kal. Right? Because half the Kenyan has already been accomplished. And since we said according to the Shach, you could be Machne both Peros and Karka as a Chotzer Bevasachas, and the Chotzer will be Kona, but the only problem is you can't start a Kenyan, you know, from scratch in that way, because how could the Chotzer be grabbing onto something when you don't even own the Chotzer? I mean, this all depends upon, you know, Gito V'yodah Bon Kachas, but right now you don't own the Chotzer. So how's the Chotzer grabbing onto something on your behalf when you don't even own the Chotzer? The Chotzer can only do that when the object is already in the Chotzer, and now the Chotzer can be Kona. So that's the Chassam Sofer. The Yesha Kosov, this is the Node of Yehuda. This is not in historical order, you know. The Chassam Sofer was much later than not much later, but probably about maybe a century later than Node of Yehuda.
One after the
other. Oh yeah, the Chassam Sofer was 150 years ago. Node of Yehuda was about 200 years ago, no?
Node of Yehuda was the end of the 18th century.
I always put the Chassam Sofer in about 1850. Okay.
He died in 1839.
Oh, really? So he couldn't have been around in 1850?
No.
I should have checked it out. You know, I went to his kever recently, but the only problem is it's very hard to see the kever because there's like a...
It's underground.
It's underground, and it's like you can only go so far.
Right.
Anyway, he says, Yeshik, it's Bratislava they call it today. In the old days it was called Presburg. So he says, Yesha Kosu Shim Kona Gama Karka, the Kavanosu Likno Shneim, he's reinterpreting the Shach, Boze, Eno Kona Metaltel, and Ide Chotze Bevasachas. Amalim Ikar Akinyan Amokum Hu Rak Al Yid Rak Kidei, you know, it's Almanas, Likno Sametaltelin, is then Kona Metaltel Ide Chatzero. I tried to figure this out, I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I can tell you what he's saying, but it makes no sense to me. Does he add anything here? No. So let me just mumble the words here, and you tell me if you can figure this out. I can't figure this out. He wants to say the following. Whether or not the Kona has to have the Peros in the Chotzer before, it all depends upon what is the primary motivation of the Kona. What does he really want to buy? So sometimes you want to buy a chotzer, and you want to also get the peros that are in the chotzer. Sometimes you're not interested in the chotzer. You really want to use the chotzer just as a medium to be kona the peros that are in the chotzer. So you're using the chotzer as a means to an end. When does the shach require that the peros be there first? That's if his ikar kavana is to be kona the chotzer. And then as a result of being kona the chotzer, he now wants to be kona the metaltelin in the chotzer. And for that you need metaltelin before chotzer. But in a case where his ikar kavana is to be kona metaltelin, he's just using the chotzer as a means to be kona the metaltelin, then even the shach would agree that he can be kona the metaltelin the karka simultaneously. I'll read it one more time. I just don't understand it. It's mamish like what I call a gzeres hakosuf. Im kona gama karka the kavanoso likno shneyem. But there, here's where the Shach comes to the fore, and he says, "Ein kona metaltelin al yidei chotzer b'vasachas." Aval an ikar kinyan on the chotzer is rak yidei liknos hametaltelin. Is then he can be kona the metaltelin al yidei chatzero, even though it was b'vasachas. Don't know. Now, the balance of this article, I mean, I'm skipping the, who is it here? The Rav Shimon Shkov. The balance of this article is all about Kinyan Schiris. So I'm just not sure. This is like an area of halacha that requires a tremendous amount of research. I'm not sure, but maybe we'll just get a taste of it. For example, you see a paragraph that starts with Yesh, and then he has a paragraph Bala Itur. I mean, this is all about the nature of Kinyan Schiris, right? What is Kinyan Schiris? Is it an ownership? Is it like She'ela? You know, Shol Shalom Midas Gazanu, maybe the Shoel is also got Bailus. How do we define Kinyan Schiris? For example, in our Gemara, the Kinyan Schiris sets up a Chatzer for the purpose of being Kona Metaltalin in the Chatzer. But if Kinyan Schiris is only, let's say, a Kinyan Tashmishim, it's not a Kinyan in the Guf HaDavar, then is Kinyan Tashmishim enough to set up a Chatzer? Now you have to clarify how you use that Chatzer. So let's say, for example, I own the Guf HaChatzer, you own the Paris of the Chatzer, like Nichsei Malug in a Ksuba. So who would be Kona if a bird fell down from Shemayim? Would she be Kona because she has the Kinyan HaGuf? Or would he be Kona because he has the Kinyan Tashmishim? From our Gemara, it seems that it all depends on the Kinyan Tashmishim, because unless you say Schirus is Mamash Kinyan Guf, if you say that Schirus is only Kinyan Tashmish, then how do I know that it could work as a Chatzah? I mean, who owns this Chatzah? Does Rav Gamliel own the Chatzah, or does Yeshua ben Hanani own this Chatzah? Even after the Schirus, I don't know. It's like the gray area. For example, who's going to own this karka after Me'ev Yesrim? Obviously, the Yoshim of Gamliel will own the karka because he owns the Gufa karka, even if I rent it out.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, how does the chotzer work if the Bala chotzer only has Kinyan Tashmishim? Unless we assume that one of the Kinyan Tashmishim is the ability to use it as a chotzer. So that's a lot of this. Anyway, he says that Socher Konal Yidei Chotzer Schuro, Vikan Hikshal Aram Mabshaposak, Vehiskir Chotzel Chavero Azevel Abomi Achut Shaykh Lamaskir. Wow. Where is this Rambam? Number 11. Perik Vav Milchus Schirus. So basically, Rabosai, who has the ability to use a Chotzev to be Kona Hefker, in this case, Zevel Abomi Machutz? The Rambam says it's a Maskir. If that be the case, then we've undermined our entire Sugya. Yeah. Our Sugya is based on the fact that the chotzer belongs, in quotation marks, to the Levi, to Yoshua, because of Kinyan Schiris. Well, the Rambam has bad news for us. Kinyan Schiris does not give you the ability to be kona through chotzer. This is a beautiful, beautiful kasha. Who asks it? The Ravid asks it. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's not the Ravid. Yesha kosu she'ena socher kone, that's because the maskir wants to be kone. Mishim shalo hiskilo elatash mishim, that's the Rambam Shita. Avolo liknos al yodo, right? The maskir, there's no interest in, I want to give you rental rights. Okay, bring your family in. What they call it, Airbnb, come in with your family, but I don't want to give you rights to be kone hefker. I want to retain those rights for myself. Is therefore in Bamedvar Murim, but if Yaskilo Gamlu, here's where I understand the note of Yehuda from before. It depends upon the Das, in this case the Das Makna. Is Yiknasora, if the Maskir is interested in giving him amongst the various Tashmish the ability of Chotzer to be Koner of Gamlil Hiskilem Sheiknali De Chotzer. I came up with this on my own. Who says this? The Ktos says this, right? Okay, let's just read Reb Shimon Shkop just to see if we can get a handle on it. Generally speaking, I find Reb Shimon is a little bit above my level, but maybe because I didn't learn in Tells, I don't know. He says, Yesha Kosa. You have it, it's at the end of the previous paragraph. She'en kavodas hashach, shebebo hakarka v'metaltum v'asachas l'rshuso, that's not what the Shach had in mind. Let's reinterpret the Shach. El kavanosu she'ena yochol liknos bevas achas. In other words, he cannot be kone bevas achas, but he's not talking about chotzer. The acher shekona karka yochol liskos bemitalten shebetocha mitam chotzer. The kan bemis mitchila zochu as kenin bechotzer. The achkach zochu bemaisros. Let's read this one more time. First, he's rejecting our understanding, our intuitive understanding. Shebebo akarka metaltu vas achas, lirshuso. So he's machne both karka metaltulin. And this is the way we understood the Shach. Eino yochol liknos hametaltulin. Why? Because only when the metaltulin are there, then the chotzer creates a yad on the metaltulin. That's not what he has in mind. El kavanoso sheino yochol liknos bevas achas. I mean, what did he change over here? The acher shekona karka. Just 1 second. I'll just read it one more time. The acher shekona karka yuchal liskos b'metaltulin. Just 1 second. Because it all depends on the chalosa kinyan. So if the kinyan will be chal in such a way that the metaltulin comes first, and as the chalos kinyan is first on the metaltulin, then it's irrelevant when the metaltulin got into the chotzer, because once he made a kinyan on the metaltulin, now his chotzer can operate. So he says, he says just the opposite. That first they were zoch in the chotzer. I don't follow. Okay, I made an attempt. Now Rabosai